choose. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The Good News in Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is Dave Freeland, your host on Sounds of Joy, inviting you to listen Sunday mornings at 6 on WCNO FM.
The Revealing Truth radio broadcast thanks Ed Meyer, Century 21, All Professional, for their underwriting support.
Hi, this is Ed Myers, Realtor with Century 21 All Professional and member of the National Association of Realtors. Whether you are buying, selling, or renting a home, understanding the market can be essential. I'm a Century 21 top producer, recipient of the Century 21 Presidential Award, Century 21 Centurion Award, and Quality Service Pinnacle Award. I proudly served the United States Marine Corps, and now I'm specializing in serving the Port St. Lucie, Stuart, Fort Pierce, West Palm Beach, and surrounding areas of the Treasure Coast. Real estate is the key to building long-term wealth. Whether you're looking to buy, sell, or rent a home, a first-time home buyer, or an investor, letting an experienced professional with a proven track record could make all the difference. I would love the opportunity to help you. You can reach me by phone or text at 772-342-0047. Again, that number is 772-342-0047.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Tarbus, your host for the Revealing Truth radio broadcast. I want to invite you to listen in today as Pastor Jason Baumgartner takes us on a journey through God's Word that will reveal truths for our lives. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." This week, Pastor Jason will be speaking on the love of the Father. So grab a pen and take some notes and let the Holy Spirit reveal the Father's heart to you.
Today we're going to be finishing up our series on encounters. We've been talking about really coming into the house of God and having an encounter with God. How do we get to that place of moving and flowing in His presence? And I want to wrap this up today by just kind of laying out for you some basics of what happens when we have an encounter. How do we interact with the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit begins to move in our life, how do we take what He's doing and really begin to apply that to the situations of our life so that when we leave church from having an encounter with God, that we actually walk with the presence of God in our life everywhere we go. And we begin to engage people while we're in the presence of God. How many know that's the best way to engage people? How do we move or position ourselves to come under the influence? Somebody say influence of the Holy Spirit. To literally become intoxicated with the Spirit. Now, if you look up that word intoxicated in the dictionary, it just says to be all messed up or under the influence of alcohol or under drugs. But how many of you know that that's just a term that means that we're under the influence of something, that we have given ourselves to something that has control over us? But literally, how to become intoxicated with the Holy Ghost, to really give ourselves over to the power of the Spirit, to become so in tune with His influence that we allow it to affect our life and apply it to our life, to where we begin not just to have victory in the spirit man, but to begin to have victory in the soulish realm of who we are, where our emotions don't run over us, where our own stinking thinking don't get in the way, where our selfish desires learn how to bow down to the presence of God. That's good news. Amen. So if you have your Bible this morning, if you'll stand to your feet for the reading of the Word, we're going to read this scripture and then we're going to get right into it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks." How often? Always. "Giving thanks always. And for what? For all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now for the ability to preach and teach. I thank you for the anointing in this house. Father, I thank you for entrance in every man and woman's heart today. You give us a truth, God, that causes us to live and walk with you in ways we never dreamed possible. To really, God, to be on the pursuit of the destiny that you've set before us. Father, I declare these things in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And we, God, we bind every hindering thing, every high imagination, every circumstance, every demonic force in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the spirit of freedom in this house today. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. So we're going to be talking about what it means to be under the influence. High five somebody and say, are you under the influence? Some of y'all a little bit more under the influence than others. We can see that on Sunday morning. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is writing some things that caused this book to become probably one of the most theological epistles that he wrote. And he really just kind of gave a full kingdom understanding of how the kingdom of heaven operates, or how the kingdom of God operates in our life. It's six chapters long, and it's broken down into three different divisions. And the first two chapters really deal with us, how we are seated. How we're seated in heavenlies, how God views us because of the blood of Jesus. And it talks about our position in Him, how it has already been accomplished because of what God did 2,000 years ago. The next two chapters deal with our walk, how we communicate every day, how we walk with the Lord. And He said, let us walk worthy of the calling where we have been called. In other words, God's done something. Now it's up to us to begin to demonstrate what God's done in our life and let God live through us. The last two chapters deal with the word stand. Everybody says stand. Meaning that our walk will always experience challenges along the way. How many of you know that you get challenged in your walk today, and sometimes you got to stand firm in what you believe? There's going to be things that will come to you and try to get you off your walk. There's going to be things that come to you and try to mess with your head, mess with your mind, mess with your family, mess with your emotions. Amen. And in the midst of teaching us how to sit, how to walk, and how to stand, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, begins to give us, or he begins to lay out for us, the New Testament church, the ethos. Everybody say ethos. The ethos. Ethos is where we get our word ethics from. And he's beginning to lay out the culture of the church for us so that we can understand how a New Testament church works, how New Testament Christianity is applied to our life, amen? How New Testament believers are supposed to function, how we're supposed to act, what kind of fruit we're supposed to have in our life, and what is the atmosphere of our life, where we live, where we go, and how we're supposed to live. And he makes that statement in Ephesians chapter 5 that we just read, when he begins to talk about the fact that the days are going to come on us, and the days that are coming on us are going to be very evil. They're going to be hard. They're going to be full of things that we have to deal with. In other words, there's going to be challenges in our life. There's going to be obstacles in our life. There's going to be opposition in our life. You're going to come up against a little bit of oppression from time to time in your life. So when the days are evil, you need to know what the will of God is for your life. And he said, here's the will of God. Don't be drunk on wine. I got a little bit of help on that. I'm going to try it again. Don't be drunk on wine where there is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, everybody's going to be motivated by something. How many of you recognize that there is an internal stimulus that moves in everybody's life? And sometimes that internal stimulus can be something that's external that we take in and changes our life. What you take in sometimes can give you momentary stimuli. Come on, how many know if you have a couple shots of Johnny Walker, you feel pretty good? Until it dissipates. Unless you drink too much Johnny Walker and you don't let it dissipate and you end up just throwing it up all over the place. Come on. How many know if you get drunk on wine, how many of you know that's only going to last for a little while? It's going to wear off, amen? And literally, when he says it comes to dissipation, it means it comes to waste. It means it's gone. There's no benefit of it. It just runs out. It actually leaves you off worse than where it found you. But what he's doing is he's comparing and he's contrasting that with the life of the Spirit. And he's saying, if you get drunk on wine, you're constantly going to be trying to get drunk again, constantly be going to trying to go back and find that feeling again. You're constantly going to be looking for that thrill again. It's never going to mean the same thing again. And it's going to end up leaving you broke, busted, and disgusted, and destitute. That's what it will do to you. It will continually run out on you. You will chase something that will always be running out. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? You ever feel like you just been on the merry-go-round? You've been chasing something and you just can't get off, and you've seen this scenery long enough and you just keep going around and around and around and around and you can't get off? Come on, how many know if you've ever been an alcoholic, you know this is true. But if you understand life in the Spirit, then you understand that it's a continual walk. And the life of the Spirit never dissipates. It has a continual flow in your life. It's actually written like this. This is the actual interpretation of it. It says, be filled with the Spirit, and then you're just going to keep on being filled and keep on being filled and keep on being filled and keep on being filled. So how many of you know the real Spirit life, the real Spirit living is not where you come and get empty. It's where you come and get full and stay full. Oh, hallelujah. The only thing that you really get empty of is you. Come on, I think I helped somebody right there. That's worth everything you came here for today. Huh? It is impossible to be full of the Spirit and be full of yourself at the same time. It's either or. So something has to be emptied so that you can be filled. That means you got to get out of the way so God can come in. In fact, when John the Baptist talked about the ministry of Jesus coming, he makes this statement, and people in the church all over the world misquote this all the time, and we always say things like this. We say, I must decrease so he can increase. How many of you, that's not what the Bible says. That's what we say. I must decrease so that he can increase. But the truth of the matter is by human nature, we never get out of the way enough for God to take over. Because we're always trying to control what we're doing. And when we allow God in, we want to tell him how to do it. That's the truth. Come on, somebody say, I'm at Truth Church. He's telling the truth. Huh? He never said that I'm going to decrease so that he can increase. He said this, let him increase so that I may decrease. So watch this. The attention is not on me continually trying to get rid of myself, which is what most people in the body of Christ are doing. They're under legalism and they're trying to get rid of sin. They're trying to act right. They're trying to get rid of themselves. The attention and the focus of my life is to continually be filled with the Spirit of God. And as I continually to be filled with the Spirit of God, as the Spirit comes in, Jason decreases and gets set free. Oh, hallelujah. Am I doing all right? Can I keep going? So when I recognize the ethos, the atmosphere for the New Testament church, and listen to me closely, there were no non-spirit-filled people in the early church. There were no non-spirit-filled people in the entire New Testament. That's a man-made phenomena. There are denominations all over this country today and all over this world today that don't believe in the Spirit-filled life to the full aspect of the way the apostles did in the Bible. God did not come up with that. Man came up with that. Let me just say this. There's this theological position called cessationism, where everything ceased at the end of the Bible, where people believe that certain things in the New Testament ceased and they no longer take place, that they no longer are necessary. And they're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the operation of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy, spiritual language, speaking in tongues, the office of the apostle, the office of the prophets. They believe that those things are no longer necessary in the New Testament church because when the Bible was finished written, God finished writing the Bible, and we don't need that no more. We got the Word of God. But that is not what the Bible teaches. Amen? The Bible doesn't teach that there would ever come a time in the Christian church or in the life of the Spirit where the work of the Spirit would ever be diminished. As a matter of fact, it teaches that the work of the Spirit would increase. Come on, somebody. There's never a time in the Bible where it says the work of the Spirit will not be necessary for the Christian or for the church. In fact, the very atmosphere which you and I are to live in and walk in our Christian walk with is the atmosphere or the culture of or the ethos of the Spirit-filled life. Is everybody all right? Is everybody staying up with me? Okay. Now, how many of you know we use the word influence? That word influence means the capacity to have an effect on the character or the development or the behavior of someone or something. I'm gonna try it again. The capacity to have an effect on the character or the development or the behavior of someone or something, to affect it or alter it drastically or to change its course. So we affect it, amen? We alter it drastically, and we can change the course. And here's what the Bible is teaching us, that if you and I will learn how to be filled with the Spirit, if we'll get full of the Holy Ghost, if we'll just get intoxicated with the Spirit of God under His influence, it will have an effect on our character development. It will change us. It'll have an effect on our marital development. It'll have an effect on the way I behave at work. It'll have an effect on the way I behave in my family. It'll have an effect the way I behave when I'm all alone. Because how many of you know there's a lot of people that can shout glory to God and dance and in a church and amen the pastor and get the word of God. And then their kids, when they get home, they don't know really who to follow, because when they get home, that same person that was shouting glory, dad's in there mad, he's upset, he's angry, and he's cussing. Huh? And the only thing they're teaching their kids how to do is to become very schizophrenic. To love Jesus on Sunday, but Monday it's okay to be a selfish brat. And they don't know which father to follow. They don't know which daddy to look up to. Come on, I'm helping you this morning. Amen. Because listen, really the work of the Holy Spirit in our life affects every dimension of our life. It affects our character. It affects our development. It affects my marriage. It affects my parenting. It affects my husband. It affects the wife. It affects the children, how I work, how I do business. Every area of my life is affected by the work of the Holy Spirit. Every aspect of my life, I am under the influence of the Holy Ghost every day, not just on Sunday morning. Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 1, in the beginning, God. I just like that. Huh? In the beginning, God. Literally in the Hebrew, it says it this way. Before there was ever a beginning, God. It literally says, before there was a beginning, there was God. Because God has no beginning, he has no end. So God was not just in the beginning. The beginning came from God. He was before the beginning. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that means that everything that you and I are dealing with today came out of the life and the mind and the logos of a creative God. The thoughts, the intentions, the reasons, the expressions of God begin to release through his spirit his expression for his creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse number 2 says this, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Darkness covered the face of the deep. Now, what was the Spirit of God doing? What was the Spirit of God doing? He was hovering over the face of the water. Let's look at that for just a minute. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means that God was the creator, correct? Anything God begins, how many know, he knows how to bring it to a proper order. Come on, God's the God of order. We know that, right? If you grew up in a religious church, they told you that. That's out of order. Sit down. Now, there's a lot of people that wonder what happened between verse number 1 and verse number 2. That's for a whole other day. We can talk about different stages of how God created the earth. That's a different kind of a teaching. That's a whole other line of thinking. Some people believe in the gap theory, that there was something that took place between verse 1 and verse 2 that caused the created order to come into chaos. Amen? Whatever happened, we just know this for sure, that by the time we get to verse number 2, the earth is in a chaotic condition. It's not producing. It's non-productive. If you just want to impress somebody with a really big word, a really big Hebrew word, here's a good word for you. Tohu vobeho. Isn't that just a beautiful word? Tohu vobeho. I got it the second time. It means barren, it means unfruitful, and it means it was unproductive. That's what was going on in the earth. So all of a sudden we had a universe that had been planned and created by God, and it comes into this chaotic condition. How many of you know this is a picture for us? Amen? We haven't gotten beyond two verses in the Bible, and it's a picture of our life today. It's a picture of you and I. God created us to become one thing, and we became something else, didn't we? We were made in his image and his likeness, and then all of a sudden we weren't in his image and his likeness no more. Sin entered the world. But how many found out you didn't have to get very far in life for it to become very chaotic and unproductive in your life? Sometimes we can get to places where we're very unfruitful, where we don't reach the potential that's put in us. But listen, I got good news for you today, ladies and gentlemen. God is never afraid of chaos. He's never afraid of your mess. Some of you in this room, you've been using your past mess, you've been using the chaos of your life as a reason why you can't walk in your present potential. And just saying, well, I can't do it. My life is just too much of a mess. I've been through too much hell. I can't take no more of this. But the truth of the matter is this. God is not turned off by your chaos. He is not turned off by your mess. Amen? Because the Bible says that when the earth was without form and void, the Holy Spirit said, I'll be there. I'll be right there. He came running towards the chaotic condition of the earth because he recognized, watch this, because God knew this, I will never let the potential that I had created, that I had ordained, go to waste. I'll redeem it. I'll restore it. I'll let my spirit have a guard over it until it can become what I intended it to be. How many know that's why the Holy Ghost is here today? He's guarding you. He's covering you so you can become everything that he wants you to be. That's why some of you didn't die in the car wreck. That's why some of you didn't commit suicide when all hope was lost. That's why some of you didn't run away and quit church when your wife left you or your husband left you. Because God knew that he had potential in you and that the chaos was trying to destroy that potential, but the Holy Spirit began to hover over your life until he could bring order to the chaos of your life. The whole King James says it this way. It was brooding. The Spirit of God was brooding. I like that word. Brooding. There's a few examples of that in the Word. First of all, it's used as a picture of an eagle who begins to draw all of her young into the nest and spreads her wings over the young and protects them from a storm when it begins to blow in so that nothing can hinder it and nothing hurts it. What a picture of God's love for us. The second way it's used is, and it's used most often through Scripture in the Old Testament, is it's used for a hen that sits on top of her eggs. And she's sitting on her eggs until what's in it becomes warmed up enough so that the life that's in it begins to break out and live the destiny that it's called to live and break through what was hindering it. Look, I don't know exactly how to say this to you, so I'm just going to say it. Really, the Holy Ghost is sitting on you like a hen on an egg because there's life in you that nobody else can see. See, some of your friends, they've been looking at you, and all they see is a hard exterior. They see a hard shell. They see a brown shell. They see a white shell. They see somebody that looks like they ain't got it all together, and he don't look that special, and ain't much too much going on there. But the Holy Spirit is not really interested in your eggshell at all because he recognized that if he'll sit on you long enough, I said if he'll sit on you long enough, there is life on the inside of you, and if it's given enough of heat, oh, somebody help me. Y'all going to have to just deal with me today. Come on now. Given enough heat, it will begin to bring life in you and break through that thing that has held you back and rise up and say, I was not born to be a failure. I was not born to be held back. I was not born to be a disappointment. I was born to be a child of God, not somebody's do boy. Come on, hallelujah. Somebody say, he's my daddy. I was born to be a part of my father's business. How many know God is a business owner? He's in business in heaven. It's called the Almighty and Sons. And when you get full of the Holy Ghost, out of the inside of you will begin to come the potential for who God created you to be.
Thank you for joining us today for the Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Baumgartner. We hope you will tune in again each day, Monday through Friday, right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. To obtain your copy of this week's message, please send your check for $5 for shipping and handling to 3891 Edwards Road, Fort Pierce, Florida, 34981. To pay by phone or simply make a love gift, you can call 772-461-8555. That number again is 772-461-8555. For more exciting information on our church, service times, and directions, you can check us out on the web at igniteyourworld.com. This has been the Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Baumgartner, and I'm your host, Bob Tarbis. See you next time on the Revealing Truth.
The Revealing Truth Radio broadcast thanks Ed Meyer, Century 21, All Professional, for their underwriting support.
Hi, this is Ed Myers, Realtor with Century 21, All Professional, and member of the National Association of Realtors. Whether you are buying, selling, or renting a home, understanding the market can be essential. I'm a Century 21 top producer, recipient of the Century 21 Presidential Award, Century 21 Centurion Award, and Quality Service Pinnacle Award. I proudly served the United States Marine Corps, and now I'm specializing in serving the Port St. Lucie, Stuart, Fort Pierce, West Palm Beach, and surrounding areas of the Treasure Coast. Real estate is the key to building long-term wealth, whether you're looking to buy, sell, or rent a home, a first-time home buyer, or an investor. letting an experienced professional with a proven track record could make all the difference. I would love the opportunity to help you. You can reach me by phone or text at 772-342-0047. Again, that number is 772-342-0047.
Golden Rule Academy is now enrolling for the 2014 school year. If you live in St. Lucie County and have a desire for your child's education to include Christian values and principles, then we want to meet you. Golden Rule Academy offers small class sizes, caring Christian educators, sports, and both accelerated and paced BSE programs. Free K-12 grade scholarships are available and going fast. Call today, 464-1597. Again, that's 464-1597. Golden Rule Academy, training up children in the way they should go for over 8 years.
The Revealing Truth radio broadcast thanks Access Able Designs and owner Alan Garrett for their underwriting support of this week's program.
Hello, my name is Alan Garrett, and I'm the owner of Access Able Designs. A diving accident 31 years ago changed my life physically in a way that left me quadriplegic. However, 15 years ago, I dove into Jesus Christ, which changed my life spiritually forever. The combination of the two have given me the unique opportunity to help others. At Access Able Designs, we offer a creative line of bathroom accessibility products, such as folding shower and bathtub benches, as well as our exclusive patented toilet transfer bench. Our products are commercial grade, stainless steel construction, and built to last. They're also available in custom sizes. Our line of ADA compliant swimming pool lifts are a big seller with hotels, commercial properties, and homeowners. Our products can be seen at accessabledesigns.com, as well as my personal life story. I look forward to hearing from you. For more information, you can contact us at 877-853-7816. That number again is 877-853-7816.
Ignite Your World Ministries, Truth Church, and all its affiliate ministries thanks Destiny Network and Bishop Tony Miller. Destiny Network International exists to serve pastors, local churches, and ministry leaders that make up Destiny Network International. For more information on joining the Destiny Network, go to www.destinynetwork.org.